So essentially, your Rushmore is Darren Randolph, Katie Taylor, Laura Whitmore, and me.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore, live every weekday at 7:30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say Andy McEntee, the Meath manager, is with us this morning. Andy, good morning to you. How are you feeling about this whole thing and how's it working from your perspective?
Good morning, first of all, sorry. I suppose it's interesting just listening to what Jim is saying there, and I think that's the big issue really concerning it. It's not, you know, whereas the GAA have done an awful lot of things well and really have shown good leadership, as Jim says. Everything isn't the same for everything. It's not a level playing field. I mean, what certain counties are being asked to do is totally different from other counties. First of all, you have the situation where championships are finishing at different dates, like was previously mentioned. But then you look at the workload that's involved on different counties and because of the provincial structure. And you look at what you mentioned, Donegal and Tyrone. They have two league games. I think one of them is against each other, if I think I'm right in saying that. And then they have to play, they have to play 4 weeks on the trot if they are to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. That's 6 weeks on the trot with very little prep time. You compare that to, I suppose, what's happening in Connacht, where Galway are straight into a semi-final. They have an extra couple of weeks prep time before they get back together, and then they have an extra week or two in between matches. So, you know, the workload is not the same. And as a county manager, my priority and my main consideration is the fitness and the well-being of the players. So what one county has been asked to do is a different proposition from the others.
We can come back to the fixtures issue. It's so obvious that the provincial system doesn't actually produce a fair competition. And here we are in stark relief. It's put out there and everybody's going to live through it now for the next couple of months. So hopefully that will make everybody think this is unfair and we should change it into the future. It's definitely a point we can come back to. But I want to talk about the health and the fitness of the players in particular. Mike McGurn, a renowned strength and conditioning expert with 2.5-3 decades of expertise behind him, is in the Examiner today, very, very concerned about the return to play and the difficulties that expert strength and conditioning people are going to have to get intercounty players to a level of fitness where it's going to be safe for them to play. He's talking about the injuries that they've had in the Bundesliga, where there are endless and full-time access to players, but endless resources essentially compared to what you might have at GAA level. And he says that there's going to be a pandemic of hamstring and groin injuries at the very best, and there are potentially also significant impacts on ACLs, according to a surgeon yesterday from Santry who tweeted that. What's your level of concern about getting the players back, and how do you begin to deal with that issue?
Well, that is my main. I mean, as the county manager, that is my main concern is the health and safety and well-being of all the players. And I see exactly where he's coming from. I mean, as you say, the Bundesliga, the Premiership, go back as far as the NFL lockout in 2011, where there was almost a pandemic of Achilles tendon ruptures after a 2 or 3 month lockout. So that is the biggest concern. We've dealt with it, I think, reasonably well within the government guidelines. Initially, we had guys in small groups of four and five when they were allowed to do that, albeit they weren't allowed to do it on the local pitch. Then it progressed to fellas doing a little bit more with groups of up to 15, which usually was probably groups of 11 and 12. But it was very gradual. And as I say, the fitness element and the well-being, we actually organised, Seamus Kenny organised a webinar with our strength and conditioning coach, Niall Ronan, the head of our physio, Liam Hogan, and Colm Nally. we organised a webinar for all the coaches in Meath, and the theme of which was a safe return to play. And it's about, I read Mike McGurn's article there, and it's about that gradual return to play, but a gradual safe return to play, not piling in and getting everything done straight away, because Jesus, we only have a month to prepare for Championship here. We need to get three or four challenge matches in the space of a couple of weeks, and for sure you're really only inviting trouble there. And every county manager is the same. I'd say the biggest concern of every county manager is to get your players back fit and able to train.
It seems in some ways, Andy, that this is a direct response to, or it's maybe not a response, but it's a result of the narrative that comes out that inter-county managers are the big bad beasts of the GAA world who want all control, and actually having a little bit of control over the players so that you can take note of their progress, because it's an individualised training programme, I suspect, for the 35 or 40 people who are on your panel. When you send them back to clubs, there are club managers who have their own concerns and they want to get their lads out there and they want to make sure that the county lads are training harder than everybody else because they're the county lads and they're supposed to set the standards. And suddenly there is this concern that the information isn't necessarily as easily passed on as it might have been.
Absolutely. And not every, I mean, you've got to face it, not every club has the same resources. So that's an uneven playing field in itself. And also, you know, bear in mind that we're trying to prepare players for the guts of an 80-minute game. Club players are trying to prepare for a 65-minute game. So the level of preparation is going to be, and will be different there. But I don't know what each player is doing with his club. We stay in touch as much as possible and we try and monitor everything as much as possible. But it's out of my control. And as I say, I mean, this clatter from which in general is ex-county players, you know, saying, you know, that the county management set up are the big bad wolves in all of this. It's interesting to hear that from fellas who were in that position themselves and know exactly what it's like. And it's interesting. I read Colm Collins' article last week, and he's a little bit fed up with that as well. And you look at his situation. He's got two real important league matches when he goes back. You know, relegation is a possibility there. He needs to win those games. He's straight into a Munster Championship. 2 weeks on the trot. So there's four games on the trot straight away. And he doesn't know the condition of his players coming back to him, which leaves him wide open for injury.
Andy, when you were saying that the players were doing little bits in groups of three and four and then up to 11 or 12, technically, was that actually a breach of the rules as they were? Or was that like, was there an imprimatur from Croke Park that that's okay during that previous period when, like, were you concerned about that as well?
No, I wasn't concerned about that because I have four fellas out training on a school pitch, or it got to a stage where I had a group of fellas who were doing a bit of work just out in the farmer's field because they wanted to do a bit of work. I mean, is that the Meath team training collectively, or is that four fellas training collectively? And you could say I'm nitpicking here, but my concern is to get keep these fellas in the shape that they've been used to. These guys are used to, you know, a high level of training, a high level of preparation, and you're asking them to stop. Who has the right to ask fellas to stop living a healthy lifestyle? I didn't see that. We kept very much within the government guidelines of what people were allowed to do, and they did exactly that.
And now, what are you actually allowed to do?
Nothing. Yeah, you know, I mean, the directive from Croke Park last week, and I see it. I understand elements of it, but the directive says that county teams are not allowed to train collectively.
Your view, Andy, is that it would be more of a healthy lifestyle for that rule to not be in place.
Sorry, give me that again.
you just said there that who is anybody to say that young fellas should not live a healthy lifestyle? Is your view that the current rules preclude an intercounty player from living the healthiest possible lifestyle they possibly can in the lead up to their intercounty games?
No, not really. No, I'm not saying that. But what I was saying before, like before, you know, we were supposed to be training collectively. I mean, you know, these guys are in a habit and in a routine of training 4, 5, 6 times a week. And I wouldn't expect them to stop doing that. They wouldn't want to. They didn't want to do that. So the idea of getting together in groups of 3 and 4 and you know, later on in 11 and 12, I certainly didn't have any problems with that, and I didn't see we were doing anything wrong with that. That's not going to change now that, you know, you're trying to prep. I mean, they're going to be with their clubs. They're going to be doing a certain amount of work. But the level of work that's done within each club is different because of numbers, because of resources, financial resources, pitch resources, gym resources. So, I mean, everything is going to be a little bit different, and you're just not sure what you're getting back.
When the two of you mentioned the big bad beast, you mentioned Colin Collins there and his quotes about intercounty managers. Do you get that sense directly within your own county that the intercounty setup is seen as the big bad beast, that the intercounty manager is seen as the villain in all of this?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I think to a certain extent we are seeing a little bit of that. But, I mean, the clubs are made. I mean, I had a kind of a plan for the guys getting a little bit of work done prior to come back to their clubs, which still would have left them, you know, 4 weeks training with their clubs. But the plan we had was just to make sure lads were fit enough to be able to train. And at times it's hard to get that message across. And we did our best to get that message across. As I say, with that webinar, we had our medical, sports science, and coaching guys given a very good pathway for everybody, clubs all over me, to go back in a safe return to play was the name of the webinar. So I mean, that was very much in our mind, foremost in our mind, that we wanted guys fit enough to be able to play and not to break down, which there's a distinct possibility when you see teams rushing back into organised challenge matches, you know, 2 and 3 challenge matches in the space of maybe 2 weeks for guys who haven't played a game in 10 months.
Yeah, we've seen a row break out in Wexford over one of the hurlers who has a hairline fracture in his foot. Somebody from the club said it was happened while it was on county duty, and the county came out and said, no, it was while he was with the club. And all of a sudden, we have this, and that's the first of them, but you can be damn sure that it won't be the last of the injuries that happens, where this is just something that we're going to have to live with. And I suppose that must be the thing that keeps you awake at the moment, is like, who am I actually going to have, and what state are they going to be in when they come back to me? Was there any way around that? Was there a way to maintain a bit more contact that didn't prevent the players from playing challenges or doing training? Like, what would the correct solution here have been, I suppose, Andy, if you could draw up an ideal template?
Well, I mean, we had an idea to draw up a template where we got back and we did 2 to 3 weeks training collectively, and then released players back to their club when we know they're at a certain level of fitness and would certainly be able to deal with the workload that they've been asked to do with the club. And then you try and educate as much people, and Mike McGurn's article today was kind of suggesting that. I mean, there's, you know, unfortunately, for one reason or another, there's a lot of guys in charges of teams all over the country who don't have the expertise required in a situation like this.
Do you not think the idea of the intercounty having the players and releasing them back to the clubs is sort of the opposite way it should be, that perhaps the club should release the players to the county?
Well, why would you say that? Give me your reasoning behind that.
Just putting that out there, that club should potentially come first, because 100% of the playing population are club players. It's not something that I've looked into or said it's the better way. I'm just kind of putting it to you that is that perhaps the way that it should be? Like, you're obviously saying that it shouldn't be that inter-county players should be released back to the club rather than vice versa.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, you're asking guys to prepare for a different level of intensity, a different level of a game for a longer period. So, I mean, your preparation has to be different. Mm. And again, I suppose it depends what you want. I mean, you're saying, okay, you're looking at the essence of Gaelic football, you know, is that you play for your club and you go from your club up to your county, and I absolutely get that. And I you know, from the word go, I was very much behind the GAA making sure that they looked after the club players, because it does represent what 98% of the playing population. But if you want players to perform for a longer period at a greater intensity, greater level of intensity, the level of training and the level of preparation has to be different.
Mm. And you need oversight of that, and the strength and conditioning people need oversight, and the physios need oversight of that to make sure that it's being managed properly.
Correct. Correct. I mean, our physios, I fear for them. They're going to be busy, I think. And you know, you're with your club, and how many clubs across the country have the finances and access to full-time physios? Probably limited.
Andy, this idea of there being separate windows for club and county, is there something in this into the future where next season, actually, if this was mapped out, where there could be a club season and then the inter-county season comes afterwards, and every county is in the same boat, but that there's more access allowed? So say Tuesday night you train with the club, but Thursday night the county gets you, while the club window is open, so that there is better oversight and more planning allowed, but that actually it does allow some access for the clubs to their county players.
Yeah, but you're still faced with the problem, as you know what one club does on your Tuesday night is different from another club, and the level of expertise is different. Yes, if you had a fixed season, okay, this is the club season, starts X, finishes at Y. This is the inter-county season, starts at X, finishes at Y. But it's different in every county. You know, you heard Jim Gavin talking about where one club, one county championship is finished in mid September, whereas Carlow going on to the 11th or 12th of October. So things have to be, you know, there needs to be a fixed. If you're going to do it that way, you need to have a fixed plan. Each team needs to be playing the same amount of games from an inter-county perspective. You know, there needs to be uniform demands on each team.
And that's one of the reasons why we kind of wanted to get you on today as well, Andy, is that you look at the Meath County finals in both codes, they're quite late. How tempting was it for you as an inter-county manager to really put the foot down and say, we want to go like the Wexford hurling final and have it very, very early, or at least have it before September 14th? Because it looks like if you have your county final after September 14th, it is going to be a disadvantage to you.
Yeah, it is. I wasn't tempted. The Meath County Board, we have a very good relationship. They are fair. I think they've always tried to be fair with the clubs, as well as us as a county team. But it is disappointing, because every week in this regard is important to us. So we're finished the county final date is on the 4th of October. And we're out a couple of weeks later. So, you know, 4th of October to, I think, you know, I look at Dublin and a lot of other the counties that Jim mentioned, they're on the 19th or 20th of September. So there's a two-week head start to begin with. So that is a bit disappointing, but I was I tempted to argue with that? No, I wasn't, really. I think we'll just suck it up and get on with it.
Do you think some counties are going to be tempted to collectively train, irrespective of the fact that there will now actually be some sanctions, apparently, if a club secretary reports on their own county?
Yes, I do. Do I blame them? No, I don't. I have a look at the Meath Championship. By the end of August, 3/4 of the teams will be out of the Championship.
And you're not allowed to train.
And we're not allowed to train. I mean, that's the bit that kind of gets me. And I say that's the bit that gets everybody. That just doesn't make sense. And you know, this one-size-fits-all approach. Nobody's allowed to train until the 14th of September or 15th of September, whatever it is. Just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm not too sure how much thought was put into that.
I'm sure they can revisit that. I mean, in fairness to them, they've always said, look, this is a rolling situation and we reserve the right to change our minds. And obviously there was a massive U-turn after Michael Deignan came out and said, this is nonsense. They U-turned in the space of a week. Will they U-turn again and say when players go out and they have nothing to do, that they're then allowed to train for their inter-county, or that the sanctions will be far less at that point if a club goes out? Would that be some...
Yeah. You'd like to think so. And I think they have shown, in all fairness to them, I think they have shown the ability to kind of roll with the punches and see how this is going and change. Now, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think if clubs are out of the Championship and not involved, I don't think you're going to get too many clubs reporting them to the GAA.
No. That wouldn't go down so well at the next dinner dance, would it?
You know, it also clubs have got to ask themselves: do they want to do how much emphasis, or how much do they want to see the county team succeed? So I don't see that happen. I mean, if club players have nothing to play for, and I know that some counties have also decided that there's no relegation from senior to intermediate. So as soon as maybe you lose one game, definitely two games, season is over. So guys, there's no requirement to hold on to club players.
Yeah.
That's a little bit that's uneven as well. Some counties have relegation, some counties don't.
There's still a bit to be worked out, all right. Andy, it's always great to have you on. It's very thoughtful stuff. Thanks a million for joining us and best of luck with the non-training.
Aye, you know, we keep on not training, you know. What am I going to do?
Thanks a million, Andy. Great stuff. Cheers.
Cheers, lads. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.